Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios, with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by Red River Toyota in Wynn, Arkansas, online at redrivertoyota.com. We're back with the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
There you were. I needed someone to understand my ups and downs. There you were.
Jeff Calkins is columnist of the Daily Memphian and also hosts the Jeff Calkins Show from 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. On X, Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, how's it going?
I'm okay, you?
I'm doing well. I have to ask you about, you're one of the 18 people that is on the committee for the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame 2024 class. Yeah. Out, we have Zach Randolph, Andre Turner, Reggie White, Jarvo, shout out to Jarvo. Dick Fadgen,
yeah,
Andy Roberts.
I voted against Jarvo. Just want to be on the record for that.
Okay. Understood.
I'm proud to be on a committee to pick Jarvo.
Yes.
Who else?
Let's see. Bobby Bingo Smith, that's an interesting one that I heard you talk about earlier today. Regina Street, Memphis women's basketball star, Robert Newman, and then Jim Hines. How was the process? What went into the process? You're going to be emceeing, correct?
Well, it's typically been me, Woloshin, and Jarvis as MCs. Now, I'm not sure when you are an inductee if you can also be the MC. Jarvis is so multi-talented, he actually could probably be MC and inductee, and so I wouldn't be surprised if he just...
I think we ought to give him the night off of emceeing, though, right?
You know, they would think, because he'll be with his family. You know, there'll be people coming. I think we should give him the eye. You're right. I think that's right. So it'll probably be me, Wallow. They may get someone else to do it. The process, honestly, it's impossible process. Because
right.
it's not unlike the process of coming up with the list of the greatest Memphis athletes, right? Because how do you possibly judge? Andy Roberts is on this list, right? Now, Andy Roberts, for those who don't know, was one of the world's truly great racquetball players, right? Now, how does he compare to, Andre Turner? Now, it so happens that Andre Turner hadn't made it previously. Well, it's not that Andre Turner hadn't been a great Memphis Tiger, but every class can't be all Memphis Tiger basketball, and obviously for a long time in the history of this city, the most prominent athletes were all Memphis basketball players. So you got to sort of say, all right, well, this class is going to be Larry and Ronnie Robinson, and this class is going to be Keith Liddy and Penny Hardaway or Elliot Perry. You sort of go down the list. What's Jerry Lawler? Jerry Lawler has already been, he's been inducted already. But how do you compare all these different athletes and all these different specialties? It's the nice thing is, though, it really has become, they do a terrific job of putting on the ceremony. It's been at AutoZone Park of late, and they do a great job of putting on the ceremony. People tend to show up, and people tend to be moved by it, and it's been just a celebration of Memphis sports. So that's in the end what it turns into. And so I'm lucky to be invited to even participate in it, but I don't have any particular clout. And, there are various people over the years that I've argued for who still haven't made it, who someday will, whatever. So it's a fun night. And if folks, I don't have the date right in front of me when we're having this, but if folks do want to come, if there anyone on that list is of particular meaning to them, they should make sure they get there. But there's a whole lot of people. Like, you just think about it. Jimmy Sexton is not yet in the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame because Jimmy Sexton is, still doing his thing, I guess. So, I mean, of course he's still doing his thing, but we have a rule about retirement. I don't know how it applies to an agent, but I mean, there's a guy. Reggie White is going into the Hall of Fame.
That's an interesting one, right?
Right. I mean, the 2 years of the Showboats was magnificent with the Showboats. And I have a rule that if someone is in their sports Hall of Fame and has a legitimate connection to Memphis, Reggie White is in the NFL Hall of Fame. He can certainly be and should certainly be in the Memphis Hall of Fame. But the story of Reggie White is wrapped up in the story of Jimmy Sexton, who was his agent who helped bring him here to Memphis. And Jimmy continues, really has only become more significant and powerful in college sports as the years have gone on. So, you know, Jimmy will make it, of course, someday. And then the other members of the Core Four will make it, of course, someday. And you know, and on and on.
Yeah, and one day Jeff Calkins going to make it in.
Yeah, who knows? You know, I'm not planning my social calendar around it, but it would certainly be an honor.
Yeah, I will say, you brought up Jimmy Sexton, so I have to get to this. I saw Tim Buckley over at the Daily Memphian write up something about it. It is kind of funny to see, like, the sort of tell-all book, tell-all about the Lane Kiffin, Nick Saban sort of back and forth, where he basically told Jimmy, I'm going to fire you for ever putting this guy in my life, that type of thing. It is kind of funny to see. Have you seen some of the excerpts?
So I haven't, no. So I've been working on another column today, and so I saw that Tim did that piece, and this is from a book that's sort of a recent book about all that, and I guess there's a whole chapter about Jimmy. But what are the highlights?
The highlights really have to do with Alabama, Lane Kiffin being there, Lane Kiffin taking the FAU job, and basically staying on the side, talking with Jimmy on the phone with FAU for about an hour after a certain game. And then, you know, obviously they have a good relationship at this point, Lane Kiffin and Nick Saban, but Nick Saban had this quote that he has sort of gone back on and said he didn't actually say, but it was about firing Jimmy Sexton for ever putting Lane Kiffin in his life. That's really the highlight for me that makes me laugh, because Lane Kiffin, like, honestly, if I could be a fly on the wall watching that relationship, you have one guy in Nick Saban who takes everything overly seriously. Just right. Not a lot of humor behind the scenes coaching his football team. We see a little bit more of it now that he's, you know, retired and on TV and the whole thing. But then you have the other guy, Lane Kiffin, who takes absolutely nothing
right. Seriously.
Nothing. That would have been a hilarious relationship to follow.
And you wish you could have seen everything. Like, if you could just see the world through Jimmy's eyes for, right. You know, a month, you know, it would be glorious. Because, I mean, let's be honest. Why do we like shows like Hard Knocks? It's because they give us, you know, what we think is an inside look at something, or what, you know, maybe is at least some version of an inside look at something. To get the actual unvarnished inside look at those relationships and the moments and the negotiations and all of that would absolutely be fascinating. And you know, so yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I will read the piece, certainly, and I may
sure.
read the book.
Yeah. Now, I saw John Martin wrote another piece, and he, among other things, I mean, he talked about, you know, Bart Torvik, and saying hopefully Bart Torvik's right about Memphis for the second straight year. Now, last year, it's a different type of right than it is this year. They're 25th in his rankings. Last year, they never even broke that mark, even though they were, what, 15-2 to start the year. But he also wrote about Florida State and how Florida State and Georgia Tech mostly did Memphis no favors by beating Florida State. How do you feel about that sort of terming it that way? Because I find it interesting. I still think that's going to be a massive game for Memphis. If they're able to go in and compete, I still think they get a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, I thought John... Listen, when I first saw the score, you know, when the field goal goes through, the immediate thought was,
yeah,
it's not great for Memphis.
Yeah.
Of course.
You want them to be a top 10 team. I get it.
You want them, because they will be the team that they will be, but you don't want them to have any other losses. It's very clear, because you're afraid that if you beat them, people will dismiss it as Florida State stinks, right? So there's no question that was not the best result for Memphis. The best result for Memphis is Florida State is vulnerable, looks vulnerable, but gets the win, right? That's the best result. Having said that, I sort of echo what you said. I don't think it is devastating or ends Memphis's dreams or something of going to the playoff at all. If Memphis can beat Florida State, they, I'll predict they will go to the playoff, you know, because they'll certainly be good enough. If they can go into Tallahassee and beat Florida State, they're certainly going to be able to do damage in their conference schedule. And I suggest they'll likely be, you know, the team that represents the group of five in the playoff. And that's if it's a great Florida State team or just a good Florida State team. Now, Florida State has lots of chances to, you know, to correct their own resume. The problem will be, what if Florida State's just mediocre? And yeah. I guess then the further would problem be, what if you lose convincingly to a Florida State team that turns out to be mediocre? You know, yeah. Whatever. They lose again to Miami, or they lose to, you know, pick whatever collection of, I think they play at Notre Dame. Don't they play at Notre Dame? Like, they lose four games this year. Let's just say that. Let's say you lose by 20, 25 to a Florida State team that loses four games this year, right? If that's the way it works out and you're in a beauty contest with other group of five teams, that doesn't help, right?
That
clearly does not help.
Still an 8-4 right. Florida State team. Still an 8-4 ACC team.
Yes, but it doesn't help. So,
right.
It clearly was not a great thing, but in no way does it ruin that game, or does it mean, you know, does it ruin your chances of, you know, getting to the playoff? It was not good. Honestly, my only objection to John's column was I think he wrote it more strongly than I would have. You know, he was like, it ruins everything. And that was the tone. And it doesn't ruin everything. It wasn't good. It was not what you wanted. It was not what you most wanted. But it does not ruin everything.
Speaking of Florida State, they got some work on their hands. He's got to buckle down. That was a really bad showing for game one. I heard a lot about their D-line and offensive line.
Offensive linemen, tell me that. Because, I mean, here you have a Georgia Tech team returns four offense. Actually makes me the offensive line in the day of the transfer portal is an interesting thing, because Georgia Tech returns four offensive linemen. Then they have the other guy the one starter is the guy who came in, was the guy from MTSU who recovered that fumble, critical fumble recovery. But they had fundamentally an intact offensive line. Florida State had a lot of work to do on the offensive line. Honestly, Memphis has a fair amount of work to do on the offensive line. They got two returning starters, both in new positions. And then Florida State, on top of it, they lose literally 10 players to the NFL draft, including their best receiver, their best running back.
Yep.
Like, they lost weapons. But you tell me, how much of this, we don't really pay that much attention to offensive linemen, as you know, but I do think that for Memphis it could be a key. For Georgia Tech it clearly was a key, and for Florida State it clearly was a key.
In the portal era, I think it's been one of the most mismanaged positions, you know, just in general.
Right.
I just think you don't create enough chemistry along that offensive line to be consistent. And, I mean, you can have as much talent in the world. We saw with Alabama last year, they had 4 and 5 stars up there. They have guys like Tyler Booker is going to be a first-round pick. Caden Proctor, who came back from Iowa after just sort of a spring stay. We remember that.
Right.
Like, you have all this talent, these number one overall offensive tackles, interior offensive linemen, but it's still not meshing together because they don't really have that time with each other that you would ultimately want. I just think it's been mismanaged pretty drastically. Now, Florida State, though, like when I talked to Mike this offseason, he said he thought this offensive line was going to be a strong suit for this team. And I thought in that first drive, you know, the opening script, they looked pretty damn good. They looked pretty damn good. But once you got to the you know, open play script and everything else, and it looked like Georgia Tech, I will give Brent Key and, you know, their defensive coordinator some credit.
The hell out of it, right?
They backed off their corners. They're like, DJ is going to have to beat us. I don't give a damn. Right. DJ is going to have to beat us. And they just blitzed that Efford guy. I think it's Kyle Efford with the neck pad and everything else.
Right.
And they just did a whole bunch of run blitzing and just made life hell on that offensive line the entirety of the last three quarters. But I think for Mike, even bigger than that, I know that he likes to rely on a strong run game. He did that at Memphis. He did that last year for the most part. Trey Benson was a really good back, and his O-line was solid. But he's got to have more explosion. He doesn't have the players on the outside that he had even at Memphis. He does not have the same guys. And I think that's the biggest issue he's going to run into the entire year. Now, I trust him to be able to scheme around it, make some things happen, but they don't have really explosive playmakers like they had a year ago. And even, again, going back to his Memphis.
They miss Keon Coleman.
Yeah. Going back to his Memphis days, too.
And then you've got, and they got Boston College Monday night,
yep.
And that'll be interesting, right? Just to see
Bill O'Brien returning back to coming back to college football as a head coach. We'll see. I hope they. Yeah. I hope they're not 0-2 heading into the Memphis game.
At that point,
I'll be on John Martin. I'll be right there with John Martin. But
unlikely they'll be on 0-2. But you know, again, what we think we know the first week, we don't know. Right,
yes.
I mean, so much of this is to be revealed. What is Georgia Tech? You know, what is Florida State? We have no idea. That's the beauty of it.
Yes. Now, Memphis depth chart. I know I break that down. I went almost player by player yesterday. But anything stand out to you?
I mean, the obvious thing is the or at running back, right?
I view that almost as a positive thing. Because Mike Norvell, and I just want to, sorry to cut you off, but I want
to take you
behind this. Like, Mike Norvell, when he puts his, you know, depth chart out, he does a tailback, and you'll see it as TB, and he does a halfback, HB.
Right.
The halfback, usually the in-between-the-tackles runner, the tailback is usually the Tony Pollard type. He always listed Tony Pollard as the tailback. And that guy splits out into the slot, catches some passes. You do some two-back sets with those guys involved. Sometimes they'll play sort of the normal halfback position. But I think if he did it this way, Sutton Smith would be the tailback. Mario Anderson Jr. would be the halfback. You have a guy that can go in between the tackles. Then you have a guy who can do it all. And there were some people talking about this, and I understand why they're talking about this, but I think this is sort of a non-issue. This is what I expected. Both these guys are more than talented enough, and they do different things.
Yes, I don't think it is I guess if you wanted to, you could read it as, ooh, Mario Anderson hasn't claimed the job. I don't see that at all.
Yeah.
Listen, Ryan has loved Sutton Smith for years now, you know.
Right.
And there's always been the promise of his explosiveness, big play, all of that. You need three running backs or four running backs, right? Like, they're both going to get plenty of opportunities. So it was still interesting. But, you know, who's going to get the first carry? Who's going to line up? You know, how often will they be on the field together? It's interesting. Beyond that, obviously the safety who was hurt was a blow. And, you know, the kid from Oklahoma, as I was telling Jeffrey today, if this were an NFL camp, we would already know this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, NFL camps, you actually get to see people practice, and so you already know if someone isn't practicing with the first or second team. You already know if someone's hurt. Here, it's just a little bit more of a surprise because it's all revealed at once, by the head coach at this point. But I didn't think there was anything particularly dramatic in the, you know, beyond that in the two deep.
What does blow me away is if you go just sort of top to bottom, 22 starters on the offensive and defensive side, 12 of them are former transfers. 12 of them. It does show Ryan has sort of figured himself out on the transfer portal. He has brought in a whole lot more the past couple of years than he's let out.
Well, yes. I mean, you know, it's funny. If you read the ESPN Group of Five power ranking, it was really Memphis was 2 behind Boise State. But
And sorry, it's 13. I left out Demir Blankensy. 13 of the 22 starters.
If you read the narrative, it was incredibly positive about Memphis. That it's this combination of this. They basically said Memphis is the most athletic Group of Five team out there. Right? There's some skepticism, hard earned skepticism about the defense because it stunk. Right? And
sure.
So until you stop someone, but. He has a knack now for mixing, you know, for getting two and three star guys who you develop, you know, the Seth Hennigans of the world, whatever, and Rock Taylor, another guy, like, and then basically half of them, and there's two types of transfers. The ones who come from Power Five schools who come down, and then there's the ones who, you know, at Old Dominion who come up, right? I mean, we're seeing all of that, and it obviously is helped along dramatically by the FedEx money.
Yes, 100%.
Easy to, quote unquote, figure it out when you have more resources by which to figure it out.
Yes, I agree with that sentiment. I agree with that sentiment. Are you going to be at the game Saturday?
I am. I'm really fascinated. I'm not so fascinated by football team because it's North Alabama. I mean, I am, but first of all, I love first games. I love opening games. Yeah. I just love walking through Tiger Lane and seeing people gather. I love the ritual of it all. I love all of that. And then, seeing football again in person, live, like that. This is a team that they beat 59-0 2 years ago, right? So I'm not expecting it too much out of the football part. But then on top of it, there is this, giant asshole on the side of the stadium.
That's what I'm right there with you. That's what I want to see.
That's where I'm going. And also just how is it going to work? How are people going to walk in? Where are they going to go? Are they going to be, picking up souvenir pieces of rubble? Like, are they going to be, what is the scene going to be? I'm interested in the scene, so I'm going to go and I'm going to write about it because I've covered a lot of Memphis football games. Never one like this.
So we're gonna get a column about the Liberty Hole. I've heard a lot of people call it the Liberty Hole. Do you like that name? Yeah. Do we tab it that?
I kind of like the Liberty Hole. Yeah, okay. Kind of like the Liberty Hole.
Only for a couple years.
I covered a COVID game. I covered some games in giant ass storms. But I've never covered anything quite like this. Yeah. So I thought I'd go and make note of it for posterity.
And maybe I'll see you. Maybe I'll see you, Jeff. All right. How about that? But I appreciate it. That's Jeff Calkins, at Jeff_Calkins on X. He is Daily Memphian columnist, also hosts the Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Now, Oxbow, he's brought to you by Oxbow, the family-owned and operated retail store that's been making waves in Memphis for over a decade, conveniently located. You pass them every day. Stop passing them. Go into Oxbow. 964 June Road, off Poplar, on June Road, behind the Amoco Station. Two-story storefront. Top floor is going to be all the hunting and outdoor essentials. You can get your guns and all the outdoor stuff, the hunting gear that you could possibly need. But the bottom floor, gift-giving destination of the city of Memphis. And I'm not just saying get a gift for someone else. You can get a gift for yourself. I know people like to go shopping. Go get a gift for yourself. We have clothing there and the best brands, Gentile, Free Fly, Fair Harbor, Duckhead, Mizzen & Main, and your favorite teams. So before you get to Tiger Lane, coming up on Saturday, go take advantage of their selection of Memphis polos. They have the Pouncer Polo, Memphis State Pouncer Polo collection. They have some normal ones. Get over there. I don't know. I think I have damn near put them out of stock with all of the Memphis gear I've bought from Oxbow. But they also have, for you Tennessee fans out there, they have Tennessee. They have Grizzly stuff, too. They have Alabama, Ole Miss, whatever you want, they have. Then they have sports memorabilia, vintage vinyl, everything you could possibly need at Oxbow, 964 June Road. And you can go online as well, shopoxbow.com, where you can find them. And use my promo code when you go to check out, The Gabe Show, all caps, no spaces, The Gabe Show, to get 20% off your online order at shopoxbow.com. But whether you're going online or in store, 964 June Road, remember to shop local, shop Oxbow. Now, C.D. Lamb finally got his deal from the Dallas Cowboys yesterday. 4 years, $136 million, $100 million guaranteed, $38 million at the signing bonus. That breaks records for wide receivers. But now that CD has been paid, what's next for Dak Prescott, who has his last year of his contract this year? Will he hit free agency? Will the Cowboys find a way to sign him back? I'll answer that question for you next. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Humor like I do.
Thanks to T-Swift for the lead back into the show. This is the Gabe Coon Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Now, C.D. Lamb, wide receiver for the Cowboys, finally got his deal yesterday. 4 years, $136 million worth of a deal, $100 million guaranteed. Again, that $38 million signing bonus, that is the most any wide receiver has ever gotten in league history. Now that the C.D. Lamb deal is done, and I do have concerns about that, what's he going to look like? He's got 13 days till game one against the Browns. We have to avoid some soft tissue injuries. But now you have the Dak Prescott and C.D. Lamb 1-2 punch that you had a year ago. You feel better about that offense. But now that C.D.'s been paid, you have other things you have to pay attention to. Of course, Micah Parsons, you have until next offseason to try to get an extension. But Dak Prescott, you don't have that long until you have to worry about him hitting the open market and being a free agent. So what's next for the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott, who was an All-Pro last year. Well, the way things are trending, there's likely nothing happening until March 2025. Contract extensions are usually hammered out between March and September in the National Football League. Once Week 1 hits, everyone focuses on one thing. And I think this is the right thing to focus on, and it's football. It's very rare to get that extension done in the early part of the season, but who knows, maybe something gets done before September 8th when they play against the Cleveland Browns. Now, when it comes to Dak, I know a couple of things to be true. Dak Prescott wants between $58 million and $60 million per year. And as I look into the 2025 quarterback market, who's extension eligible, who's going to get paid? We had a bunch of people the last two offseasons get absolutely paid. Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, guys like that. But we look at the 2025 market, it's not that deep. But there's one unavoidable name that I just cannot stress enough. Brock Purdy for the 49ers. Now, some people look at Brock Purdy and be like, well, he has to prove it another year, but he was fourth in MVP voting last year. He's been very good in that Kyle Shanahan offense. He's going to get paid. Now, Bill Barnwell from ESPN has estimated that the contract for Brock Purdy could be market-setting. It could touch $65 million per year. He thinks Kyle Shanahan has his guy, and the 49ers understand that. He estimated that contract to be 5 years, $325 million. Now, with some contract like that, knowing that Dak wants somewhere between $58 and $60 million per year, and Brock Purdy could touch $65 million per year, that's not a contract you want to wait around and watch get signed. And as we head into this offseason, you could look at, okay, what are the plans outside of Dak Prescott for the Dallas Cowboys? Well, Trey Lance, who they brought in from the 49ers after Brock Purdy handled business and took over that job, he just threw five interceptions in a preseason game. Do I see some things that I like from him? Sure, but he's going to have to show that he can throw the football from the pocket a little bit more before I trust him to be a franchise-changing quarterback. And you haven't bottomed out, so you're not getting a good draft pick. So that's seemingly off the table unless you trade up and give up assets to go trade up if you don't have Dak Prescott. And then, so okay, the other option you could look at is free agency. So let's take a gander at the free agents that are going to be available at the quarterback position in 2025. Sam Darnold? Big no. Zach Wilson? Big no. Trey Lance will be one? Big no. Jacoby Brissett? Taylor Heinicke? Marcus Mariota. How about Jarrett Stidham? Andy Dalton? Can I interest anybody in Andy Dalton? Drew Locke? Justin Fields. What do you think about Justin Fields? Joe Flacco, Jameis Winston, Mac Jones, Carson Wentz, Jimmy Garoppolo. You're getting the point I'm making. There's not options out there on the open market to replace Dak Prescott with. And also, let's take it back to CeeDee Lamb for a second. He's the second highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. And he plays a position, wide receiver, that's awfully quarterback dependent. It is quarterback reliant as it gets. All of this comes together in the form of a suggestion that I have for Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. Get pen to paper. Do it now. Don't wait. I know you want to kick the can down the road, but that does nothing good for you. You bid against yourself in those situations, just like you did with CeeDee Lamb. Do I think that Dak Prescott is the ideal quarterback to get you to a Super Bowl? No. He has clear shortcomings in the playoffs. There's just no doubt about it. He's 2-5 in the playoffs, and he just doesn't come through the way you want him to. But to that point, there are eight quarterbacks who make above $50 million per year. Top eight quarterbacks in the NFL from a per-year standpoint. They're a combined 16-17 in the playoffs, and they have a combined zero Super Bowl wins. The quarterback market in general, I get it. It's become very watered down and truly very reactionary. You pay because you're forced to, and you pay a couple million more than what the last guy was paid. You just beat the last contract that was paid out. I think generally it's a strategy that needs tweaking. Because you pay a quarterback, unless you're Patrick Mahomes, and everything else around you falls apart. You lose free agents because you're not able to pay them the same with the salary cap. But there's one thing everyone has in common that always helps remind me why this process is so insane. Every franchise, I don't care if you're the Detroit Lions, the Cleveland Browns, if you're the New England Patriots, they're looking for a quarterback that can win them a Super Bowl. There's just no doubt about it. That's the ultimate goal. But when we talk about quarterbacks that have done that, there's only five active quarterbacks that have been able to accomplish that feat. Two of them are Joe Flacco and Russell Wilson. Another one of them is a guy by the name of Aaron Rodgers, who's 40 years old. So there's five active quarterbacks that have won a Super Bowl and 32 franchises. So what happens, for people out there that know economics, right? What happens when demand is high and there's a supply problem? That's when eggs end up being $5 a carton for a dozen, right? This is no different. It's simple economics. If you have a demand for a quarterback that can get you to the playoffs and win some playoff games, and the supply is low, you end up upcharging the quarterbacks that are good enough to get you to the playoffs and give you a chance to win the Super Bowl. It is not that complicated why this is the case. And this is also why the Cowboys don't have any better choices, don't have any better options. I understand who Dak Prescott is as a quarterback. He's great in the regular season. All pro caliber, even, in the regular season. But when he gets to the playoffs, he has his shortcomings. Doesn't mean he can't win going forward. It just means we haven't seen it yet. But in the end of the day, when options are few, when this quarterback class coming up doesn't have much and you're not going to have a high pick because you haven't bottomed out, and the free agent class looks the way it does, Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, anybody that can hear me in the Cowboys brass, you have no choice but to pay this guy the money that he wants. And it should be done yesterday. I don't think waiting is going to help. You don't want him to hit free agency. You just don't want that to happen. Because somebody will ultimately pay Dak Prescott a whole lot of money. There are a lot of quarterback needy teams around the league. Like I mentioned, there's five quarterbacks in the National Football League that have won Super Bowls. There's 32 teams. The Raiders need a quarterback. They're starting Gardner Minshew going into this year. We don't know how some of these rookies are going to pan out. We don't know what's going to happen going into the future for a lot of franchises. There are quarterbacks that will pay Dak Prescott crazy amounts of money. You should get ahead of this. You should sign him to the $60 million per year deal that he wants, and you should move on with your life. Continue to be a playoff team. Continue to give yourself chances, and maybe one of those chances will pay off. But it is a simple, obvious decision that needs to be made, and it needs to be made now, or you're going to be staring down a really tough situation going forward. You're going to have a wide receiver who's getting paid the second most amount of money in NFL history for a non-quarterback. You're going to have a DN that you're going to have to pay a whole lot of money to, and you may end up with your pants down with no quarterback that can get you to the heights that Dak Prescott has gotten you to. So this is one of those situations that I would say, yeah, we paid attention to the CeeDee Lamb situation. We were frustrated with the CeeDee Lamb situation. But this Dak Prescott situation is a lot more vital to the long-standing success for the Cowboys going into the future. Now, going into the future, you know what I see this weekend for you guys out there? I know you're driving in your car right now, and I hope you're not drinking. You can't drink and drive. I understand that. But when you drink responsibly this weekend, hopefully you drink responsibly watching week one of college football, you're going to need a bottle of hooch. You're going to need some libations. You're going to need something to drink on, something to sip on. And I know how tempting it is when you show up to the liquor store on Thursday or Friday and you buy, you know, I get it. You buy that national brand. You've been sticking to that national brand for years and years and years. Hard to break the habit. But did you know whatever that bottle contains, we have a local distillery that does it better? Because we do. Old Dominic Distillery. They have gin. They have vodka. They have toddy. They have whiskey. They have bourbon. The single barrel bourbon selection, you can get it for about $60 at your local liquor store. You got to drink responsibly with that, though, 126 proof, but it is phenomenal. They have the 90.1 proof bourbon that I always keep on hand at my house when I have company. So make sure you get over and buy a bottle of Old Dominic. It's the most fresh, most full spirit you can buy in this city. And what's nice is you can visit them because the distillery is right here, right on the riverfront, 305 South Front Street, to be exact. They have events all the time. You can book a tour and tasting there. Just make sure you go to olddominic.com. Check out all their products as well. You can ship Old Dominic spirits anywhere in the United States of America. You can get them as a gift. You can do that at olddominic.com. And always remember that they are the official spirit of the Memphis Grizzlies. There are two bar locations inside FedEx Forum. So if you're going for a concert, a comedian, a game in general, Tigers or Grizzlies, take advantage of those two bar locations and get a craft cocktail made by Old Dominic. But Old Dominic Distillery wants me to tell you to come by and say hi. Now, we're going to stick to the NFL conversation, but a little bit off the Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb conversation. We're getting away from that for a second because we have a podcast by the name of the New Heights Podcast that just got absolutely paid. They had a hell of a payday. I know CeeDee Lamb had a payday, but this is a payday that I think all of us can appreciate. But we'll do that next with Small Talk and get you out of here.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. For Small Talk, we go to the Kelsey Brothers and the New Heights Podcast. They have taken off too. New Heights. Yeah. Can I get like a...
Da-dum. No.
Come on. Give me something like that.
No.
But either way, they just signed a deal with Amazon's Wondery Plus at $100 million for 3 years. And obviously, this is Jason Kelsey and Travis Kelsey together talking football, talking life, talking culture. They talk about their fan base is the 92%ers, I guess. But honestly, what's so amazing about this to me, they do one podcast episode a week. And maybe they'll go up with this new deal. But $100 million for 3 years, a three-year commitment for that amount of money for one podcast a week is nuts. But when you dig deeper and you look at the cultural significance of what that podcast has now, it makes sense why Amazon's investing the money that they're investing. You have family man Jason Kelsey alongside eligible bachelor Travis Kelsey, who's one of the best tight ends of all time, who, that's the beau of Taylor Swift. All the Swifties are involved now.
Oh, yeah.
And they're involved in just like this cultural, like just they're just in this sweet spot. That's the best way I can put it. They're in the sweet spot of what our culture is demanding at this particular moment. And I will ask Sheila right now, because Sheila played Love Story by Taylor Swift heading back from the last break. I got to say.
Love Story?
Was that Love Story?
You Belong With Me.
Oh, that's You Belong With Me. I always get those confused. Wasn't that the same album?
Fearless? Yeah.
Yeah, Fearless. So we have a Swiftie, resident Swiftie here.
Oh, I'm a big fan.
How much have you latched on, like the Travis Kelsey, Jason Kelsey, like there's been like a nice little cultural melting pot with Swifties and NFL. You get NFL football, you get Taylor Swift, you get a family man, you get in Jason Kelsey, you get his wife who's awesome.
Love her.
You get the kids. Yes. I mean, it's just like everything has come together perfectly for that podcast.
Everything you want.
Yeah, but Swifties. How much, like, seriously, how much has this changed the viewing habits for you if you take in podcasts, take in NFL football? How much has the Travis Kelsey, Taylor Swift relationship brought that to the forefront?
I'll be honest. I was a Travis Kelsey fan before I...
Oh, why was that? Why was that?
Well,
what?
Have you seen the man?
He's good looking, I guess,
he's
huh?
Good looking for sure.
Yeah.
But I definitely was tuning in way more.
Okay.
After they got together, because I was like, I have to see what she's wearing, who she's with, who did she bring to the game with her. And
of course.
I can't, like, the way social media just went crazy the first time they were spotted leaving a game, holding hands, walking out. Wild.
And then he went on the Eras tour with her. He was where was he in? Argentina? Where was he with? He's overseas. He was somewhere.
He was
in a different country.
He's been
somewhere.
Everywhere. He's been everywhere for her. But when he came on stage, that was
it was huge.
Cultural reason.
And she said the guy from the Chiefs. She like changed the.
Yes,
I don't even know what was it. Karma. There we go.
Chiefs.
There we go.
Yep.
Yeah, so I mean, it's wild to see how quickly this thing has taken off, and it grew organically for them.
Oh yeah.
And honestly, I hate to be this guy. If it weren't for the Taylor Swift Travis Kelce relationship, this thing, I know these that we have purist football fans, like these machismo guys out here listening to this show. And I get it. I'm a meathead sometimes. I understand. But without the Taylor Swift relationship,
this
contract for this type of money doesn't get signed. I hate to say it that way, but it's the truth.
It is the truth. I mean, I think their content honestly was just getting blasted more because they wanted the engagement with Swifties, and they got it. I mean, people were listening because if it's just a segment that they do, but they were like explaining terms for football.
Right.
You know, Swifties. Yeah. Not all Swifties are going to be watching football and know what's going on. But like, they're out there, they're engaging with the community because they want the viewership, and they got it.
Yeah, and I think it's cool too. Like, we get all the paparazzi around like Travis Kelce and the Taylor Swift relationship, and they explain it on the show.
Yes,
that hits more than anything else.
Once they started acknowledging the relationship, because it all started when Travis, you know, said that he tried to give her a friendship bracelet with his number on
right.
And then it just all unraveled.
Yeah, it got going fast. You're rooting for that relationship, right?
Oh,
I know there's some Swifties that are like, oh, he's not good for her.
Compared to all
lucky number 13
relationships.
This is more healthy, you think?
This 13, I can't believe that. Yeah, no.
Isn't he the 13th of the relationships that have been tabbed?
Well,
I don't know.
I don't think he's the 13th, but everyone's like, oh, it's the last one. Like, that's for sure going to be the ring is coming soon.
I don't know. I mean, I'll say this. If he enters a marriage with Taylor Swift, and probably no matter what, he can't ever go back to normal, but the paparazzi thing is really, it's going to be very prevalent in his
life. Oh, yeah. I mean,
he's
right got to
be
now,
very careful about
it's
that.
It's even crazy. Like, they're taking pictures of them at a beach house in Rhode Island with all these other celebrities. And I'm like, okay, guys.
It's nuts. It's nuts. And it's never going to go back to normal for him.
Oh, never.
But certainly, if they get married, never, ever, ever going back to normal. Good Lord. But $100 million over 3 years for the New Heights podcast. Amazon Wondery ends up paying that type of money. Good for them, I guess. Good for them, and definitely good for the Kelce brothers, because that is a hellacious payday for a one-episode-a-week podcast over a three-year period. That is absolutely insane. Now, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. I do want to say thanks to Christian Fowler and Jeff Coggins for their contributions to the show. I want to say thanks to you out there for listening. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to bring on my guy from Two Stripes CPD to talk some college football, review week zero, get into week one. That'll be Colton Denning. We're going to bring David Cobb back on the show from CBS Sports. But we'll go ahead and wrap it up for the day. We'll meet back here at the same time tomorrow. In the meantime, we'll go ahead and pass you off to ESPN National. Amber and Ian will take over for me. For Sheila, I'm Gabe. Be easy, be safe, and enjoy the rest of your night.